Are you ready?
Here we go.
Test 1, 2.
I feel like I'm bouncing from cloud to cloud.
Wow, we're ridiculous.
So stay tuned.
I like what we're doing.
Or don't.
Oh, that might be my favorite thing to ever happen.
Is this not the coolest thing you've ever heard?
Well, how about this?
Yes. Hold up.
It's the Pepper and Dylan After Show Show Podcast.
Welcome to the After Show Show. Today is March 10th. We appreciate you joining us. We appreciate you subscribing, rating, and of course sharing on social media. Maybe a video, a picture of you listening to the After Show Show.
Yeah, February was our best month ever for podcasts. Is that right, Robbie? Is that what the statistics said?
It's climbing. Holy smokes.
Look at that. Watch out. It goes Joe Rogan, everyone else, us.
Mm-hmm. We're getting there. Just a matter of time.
We are climbing, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, which is wonderful. Also, are we doing disclaimers now? There's been talk about us doing disclaimers.
Hey, sometimes we got to be careful.
Things might happen.
Aren't they produced on the front end? Don't they run on the front end, Robbie?
They should be. I have not made one yet.
Oh,
so this will be helpful.
Okay, well then pop it in here, Dylan, and then we can take care of it.
Well, the disclaimer is that this isn't like the regular show.
The content on the After Show Show can often go in directions.
Pepper's the only one that really swears. And sometimes he swears on the After Show Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
what of it?
That's our disclaimer.
It can be alarming to some people because they listen to you all morning. You're so good without swearing. And then all of a sudden you just drop a couple.
Isn't it fun to hear somebody swear that? Like, remember the first time you heard your parents swear?
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, so the disclaimer is we never know what direction this thing's going to go in, even when we have guests planned, like yesterday or last week's OnlyFans.
We could have guessed last week.
Well, no, but, you know, so sometimes you're going to hear things that you're not going to hear on conventional terrestrial radio. And if we do, we just want you to be fair warned, right? And there are some people that are like, oh, my kids were listening to a podcast. And, you know, I'm like, well,
it's kind of don't let them listen to
me. What do you want? I mean, sorry,
but we do want all the people listening that we can get,
right? But
just
and
not
now,
kids. Get rid of those bastards.
Oh yeah. See, well now this
that bastards isn't a swear,
isn't it?
No,
I would say that it is.
Is mustard a swear?
Yes.
Just trying to be difficult, huh?
No. Why would mustard be a swear?
Sounds the same as bastard to me.
Mustard?
Yeah. Is duck a swear?
No, a duck is not
then
a swear.
Then I should be able to say.
No.
But I'm not.
Good.
So I've been slapped on the wrist. I'm not allowed to do that.
It's totally fine.
But the point is that sometimes, like, if there is content or conversations that we would like to have on the live show, and either they're a little too adult or a little too explicit or a little too whatever they might be, including if they may not, as research tells us, appeal to the target demographic. Well, that God.
Right.
No, see, it's just easy.
If you've got any of that, then sometimes we'll transition it over here, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't put up with that, or not put up. We don't have to deal with that an awful lot of, hey, this is missing the target. This is missing your females to whatever 25-54 target, what you're doing on the air. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we do a good job of staying in that lane, or if we just, if we've never given the respect to the fact that people have a broader sense of engagement than they've ever been given credit for.
Right.
But for stuff that we kind of, our sensibilities say, maybe this isn't good for live over the air. Sometimes you're going to hear it here. And
I don't know if we have sensibilities. Have you heard what we've done on the air?
Well, I don't understand it either. Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand how we've captured, you know, what we've captured and been able to do this radio show for 15 years in the style that we do it. And I will always give you credit for that, Dylan. Because,
oh, that's really kind. Thank you.
Well, no, I always have. I've never been veiled with the credit I give you. I've always been
You're very, very good with the credit. You really are.
With the credit. Because you...
I don't know what I'm doing. Is really
well,
what it comes down to.
But that's the beer.
Well, really let's get
Savan. Savan, can you cut? Where'd the fourth mic go?
I don't know.
God?
We don't have it.
We took it out.
Why? I didn't say it.
Oh, man.
I didn't say it.
Behind the scenes, we had to get rid of it because it's in the way of videos and everything.
Oh, that's horse. I mean...
We could plug one in there, like a little cord one. Like, isn't there, don't we have like a corded mic?
Like, honest to God, we've got three microphones in here. Why? And I mean, sometimes when it's not COVID, we'll have a guest.
Well, it's been COVID for a while, though.
Well, so we're like, I won't need this microphone ever again. Eventually.
Maybe Rogers knows something we don't.
I mean, it's like, eventually they're going to. So when I was in rehab when they took it away?
I don't remember exactly when. There's a lot going on when you were in rehab. I can't remember.
Wait, you didn't notice him remove a microphone?
I didn't. I wouldn't have noticed until you tried to get him on a mic the other day, and I was like, okay, I'll just swing the mic.
Savan, do you know when they got rid of the microphone?
I have no idea.
Robbie, do you know?
When we were in rehab, you guys were all gone, and we were trying to get these cameras working. So we got rid of it.
Yeah, we've got these studio cameras, and our boss is trying to figure out a way that we can record the podcast, record this podcast.
We are recording it right now, I think.
The video version? Does that work, Savan? Can we do that?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I'm so old.
I've been telling you that for years. Do you know what
I
mean?
Like, I don't understand any of this. Like, I'm trying to go, like, a podcast and cameras and all this newfangled technology, which I just referred to cameras as newfangled technology.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want that. Anyway, so she thinks we should video these things, which I don't know. They can run up to an hour. That sounds like that would eat up a lot of...
memory.
Hard drive.
Yeah, you got it.
That sounds pretty good, right?
I just think it'd be good to have it on YouTube.
Who wants to look at this?
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
People. I don't understand.
There are people.
That.
They watch everything.
Yeah, people like, would tell me, like, oh, I didn't know that that's... Like, one of the most surprising things, and I don't know if I've ever shared this before, but is the view I have of you.
You've
Dylan.
Shared it 1,000 times.
15 years, Savan, and all I've ever seen was the top of his head. I've just seen his hairline just going further and further back.
I don't have a hairline, years. Thank
well,
you.
And now it's gone. It's funny. A friend of mine.
That's not funny.
Pam. I don't even know if I want to tell you this, Dylan. A friend of mine. Savan, we'll get to you in a second.
Okay. All right.
Now, why don't you, in the meantime, why don't you go and see if there's like a handheld mic that you can use?
There isn't, unless you talk to engineering.
Okay.
Oh, so, and you know get what? A thread adapter.
Forget
for
it. That sounds like a pain in the ass.
But anyway, a lot of work.
So a friend of mine, Pam, was on Instagram. We were texting back and forth because she has this fella who apparently goes back and look and like likes and comments on all her Instagram posts from like a year or 2 or 3 years ago.
That's good. That's a good thing to do.
Why?
I just think it's good because you're not in a, let's just say, like, here's an example. You know that new Friesen Brothers opened up?
Yeah.
Right? Everybody was lined up for the Friesen Brothers. It was lined up down the road.
Yeah.
You go to that old Friesen Brothers, only in Stony Plain, you walk right in.
Right.
You're not standing in a line. Same thing's happening there. So when you go back to like the old pictures, you're not going to get lost in everyone else's new likes. You're going to be the only one liking that picture. You're going to stand out.
Right, but the reason you're looking at old pictures is because you're really doing your research on the person that you find interesting.
Or maybe
right?
you're just trying to send a little sign.
That's not the... Well, that's what I'm thinking, right? Because so she's messaging me and going, this guy from high school who I haven't... excuse me, who I haven't talked to in ages is now liking all of my old stuff and commenting on my old stuff.
That's cute.
And I just said, well, that's really strange. I said, like, I mean, you can look at somebody's thing and not... comment, like, if you don't want to look like you're creepy or stalking them, or you know, then you can just look at it without liking. Like, it's like you obviously know by liking it, so he wants you to know,
of course.
So, and then we were joking, and she said, you know what, I'm gonna go back to your very first Instagram post on my Instagram, and she's gonna like it and leave a comment. So, I looked at my whatever you call it, so the messages and likes and my notifications, she had liked the very first Instagram post. Now, I'm scrolling down because I don't know if there's a quicker way to get to the bottom of my Instagram, but I am. Okay, so we're almost there. We're back at the old virgin days. Okay, here it is.
Okay.
My very first Instagram from June 1st, 2012. And the thing I wrote is testing Instagram.
Okay.
And it was liked by 13 people.
Ooh.
And has one comment. From Pam on Saturday.
There you go.
That says, welcome to Instagram. In the picture. Now, I don't know if I want to show you this picture, Dylan. So I'm going to hand it over here to Robbie. Robbie, you want to take a look at this thing? Okay. So take a look at this. The very first Instagram post I ever made from June 1st, 2012. And just take a look at what has happened in the past 9 years.
Wow.
What?
Well, it's a picture.
This is in the Virgin Studios.
It's his what Pepper would have looked at every day back in the Virgin days.
It's a much better
top
view.
Of my head.
No, because I saw more than the top of your head back then. I saw your full body.
Yeah.
Do you remember, Dylan, what you looked like in 2012?
Not like specifically. No.
I want to, and I want to do this without hurting you, but I just can't believe how 9 years has gone by since Instagram came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was late to the party on Instagram, if I'm not mistaken. I was like a year
later,
right? And this is CrossFit Dylan. Last time you saw a picture of CrossFit Dylan,
I don't know.
Look, Savannah, you've never seen CrossFit Dylan. You come and take a look at this picture. Like, you just met Dylan a few months ago. This was Dylan 9 years ago when he was annoying everybody with CrossFit.
I was annoying. That is a true statement.
So you would have been 25 here, Dylan?
9 years ago?
Yeah.
I'm 37.
Oh, 37. So you would have been 26.
Yeah.
Okay. So 26 years old. In this picture. Dylan. You want to see 26-year-old Dylan?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Look how much. Look how much we've all changed. We've all changed, right? Aww. Obviously, we see old pictures. But look at you. You're ripped.
I still have those arms.
Look how good. Like, look at how buff you are.
I think you were 28 there. Wouldn't you have been in 2012?
2012? Is that when that was?
Wouldn't it have been?
2012.
2012? Oh, yeah.
28.
I'm 37, so.
The point being is, like, we've been doing this show for 15 years.
I know!
And it's a long-winded way of getting back to the fact that 15 years ago, when I met you, and we met earlier than that, but when we started working together, that you taught me an awful lot about how to not know what you're doing.
Not know what you're doing.
Like the gift of not knowing what you're doing and what it brings to the show.
Throw away the list.
Yes.
Yeah, I had no idea how to do a radio show. I still don't know how to do a radio show.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes our radio show somewhat unique, is because you know how to do one, and then the entire time, you're fighting with Robbie and I, who don't know how to do one.
Which is the beauty of it.
And so we're sitting here not knowing how to do it. Yeah. You're frustrated that you're trying to do one,
yeah,
but we're never doing one, and that's what ends up happening.
So, Savan, come back to the microphone here. Boy, we're really annoying the hell out of him, aren't we?
No, Savan's okay.
We still don't have a fourth microphone, Savan.
Yeah, not yet.
So... You are, and I'm just kind of meeting you the past couple of weeks because you were here while I was away, and you were helping out behind the scenes and doing some stuff on the air, because I saw some of it when I was in rehab and I was on Instagram and I was watching it. But you're from Nate, is that right? You were a Nate student, or
yes.
What is your back? Yeah, okay, okay. Are you all done at Nate?
I'm in my practicum right now.
But what the hell's going on? Like, you're not going to school right now, are you?
No. And I only did
How do you do radio school
semester?
Without going to school?
Well, this is it.
This is his school?
Fourth semester.
Yeah, but what was your third semester like?
My second and third semester was basically all online. I went to school one day a week.
Well, how in Christ's name do you do a radio school when you're all doing it from home?
It's way easier, I imagine, because you don't have to do any of the hard work.
Well, you don't have any of the equipment. It's not like you have a radio station in your room.
Right?
Right?
Well, I think everyone kind of does now.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little older. I've worked before, so, like, I have a computer for myself. But there were students in my class who didn't have any equipment, not even a computer. Some just had cell phones, and they had to... try and produce things.
Wait a second.
Home.
Wait a second. You mean to tell me that students at Nate were doing their work, regardless of the program they were in, they were doing it by phone?
Yes, yeah, some. Some were in the classes from their phone, like video calls on their phone, and then they did the work in Word
on their phone.
On the phone.
Like, they didn't have a computer?
Yeah.
Like, I can see doing your joining your Zoom classes over a phone.
Mm-hmm.
But to actually do all your work on a phone?
Yeah.
That's a hard time. And then you come to this show.
Yeah.
You're really not going to know what's happening when you get a
job.
Well,
and that's where I wanted to get. Like, you come in here and, like, I mean, we can talk about whatever we want on the after show, but you're right. Like, you taught me a way of doing radio, Dylan, that I didn't think was, I didn't think it existed, for one. I certainly didn't think it was sustainable, for two.
Or good.
I certainly didn't think it was good or would be successful, for three. But you taught me that, I mean, it was the best thing you ever said. I was like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you said.
Yeah.
He was like, and I was like, yeah, you know what? You're right. Who does give a...
Right? I mean, because no one knows. That's the beauty of radio.
Yeah.
There are a ton of radio stations across North America and across the globe.
Yeah.
And nobody knows what's right or what's not right or what works or what doesn't work. So how are we any different?
So somehow we've managed to carve out a 15-year career in this market.
Which is crazy.
And I people seem to like it. I mean, people seem to gravitate towards how it's just not your conventional way of doing things.
I don't think I could do it any other way, though. Like, if we had to do a different show.
I know that I could have. I couldn't now. I couldn't now in a million years.
But see, the difference here is, like, so I never did morning radio. Mm. I never really did any on-air radio. I did, like, a couple weeks here and there prior to meeting you.
Yeah.
Robbie never did any radio prior to meeting us.
And didn't want to, right, Robbie?
No, I did. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a producer of some sort.
Yeah.
And just play with music.
Right, but you never were on the air in another radio station.
No. So I have done it. When you guys left, I had to do it with a bunch of fill-ins.
Right.
It was awful.
I'm talking prior to you even coming on the show, never did it, which means you only had two morning show experiences prior to?
Yeah, Vancouver and Hamilton.
Yeah. So you were the only one that knew what the heck to do.
No, but I didn't because that was garbage. So I knew that the way I was doing things wasn't working.
Right, okay.
So I had to find out a new way, and your way was just don't do anything.
Right, just whatever.
Well, there's got to be something in the middle here, isn't there? Like, I mean, I was overprepared. You knew I was overprepared.
It was
all
crazy.
Of the time. I would do 2 hours worth of work before the show mm-hmm. and do all this sort of stuff. And now you fast forward 15 years later, and I'm here 25 minutes before the show starts.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're here, you know, 10 minutes before the show starts, Dylan. 15 minutes.
Well, yeah, 10.
Robbie's been getting in a little earlier lately. We haven't been late for the show in a while.
I haven't been late. I don't want to be any later than 5:30.
Okay. Like 5:30
to 1.
Good because the show starts at 5:30.
I know.
And it's good
so
if 5:30
to 1.
So, Savan, you're standing there, and I keep trying to talk to you, and then we start talking about other things. But so you come into this environment, and first of all, it's a fractured environment because I'm gone, so it's not the full show. But you see the environment because it's your first toe dip into what a radio show looks like.
Yes.
So you don't have anything to compare it to.
No.
Right? Nothing. Only what you've listened to before, which is every goddamn radio station in every single market giving you the celebrity sleaze or the mystery phone call of the day, you know, which we, to our detriment, refused to do to the point where they were like, well, then we'll find somebody who will.
They did.
And we said, oh, yeah? And they said, yeah. And that was it for that.
Right.
So you walk in here and you think, is this what it's supposed to be? This is chaos. This is strange. This is bizarre. I don't know what's going on. So what have you noticed?
Well, I learned pretty quickly that you guys basically break every rule that I learned in my 2 years at
really?
Radio school.
Okay, like what? Well, I'm curious to know what they're teaching.
It's just very different. Like your show is different, but you can't choose what you like. Like I agree with Dylan 100% about... Like, you can't, shouldn't be rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some rules that just for the format and how it works, but I don't think there should be, like, specific rules about content or what you talk about. Like, you guys...
We fight that fight quite frequently, but we haven't in a while. I think it's COVID. We just don't talk to anybody anymore.
Maybe that's what
part of it.
What
ever since
become.
COVID, everybody's been pretty hands off. It's been kind of nice.
Everyone's been in the building.
Yes.
No. Yeah. It's interesting. So everything that they teach you, you come here and go like, oh, hang on a second.
No, I'm not. Not everything. Like I learned a lot of good stuff from Nate, but it's just different. There's a lot of. I can't even think of examples right now. Your guys' show is just different from, I think, most shows, period.
And this isn't, we're not trying to be like self-involved or stroke our ego, but I'm just curious to hear it from mm-hmm. from somebody who gets this, you know, formal training in radio school and then comes in here and goes, oh shit, that's not what they told us.
They don't really have, like from my time at Nate, they didn't have like a morning show class.
No, I know.
That taught you how to do
I think that's a detriment to what they
right?
do.
Like,
yeah.
So right. what would they wouldn't even teach you that at all, right? So that's, maybe that's just what's different?
Yeah, like it was mainly solo. Like we, especially during COVID, we weren't even allowed in a studio with another person.
Right.
Which I think is also beneficial because you're never going to get on a partnered show right out of school.
Yeah.
It's
kind of
a waste of energy and time to partner you with somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're going to work some stupid evening show and, you know, or past, you know, well, you'll never go past midnight now, dear God. They want to automate that as much as possible. You probably never work a nighttime show anymore, but that's usually how it used to be, right? Is you'd work until midnight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, we had an intern that would come in at 2:30.
2:30. That's right.
And work till 5:30.
That's right.
And do a show just to learn.
Just to get the tape. Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Nowadays, no.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you look at this and you go, Jesus. Like, so you must be confused now because you learn once a thing and then you come in onto the job and you do your internship and you're like, well now what do I think? What am I supposed to think here?
I'm not confused. I think it's it should be a marriage between the two. Things that I learned, and I think you guys do it a certain way that is definitely not taught, but it's just your personalities, and like, I don't know, you can't teach creativity, really.
Yeah.
You can train, like, the muscles, I guess, but you can't teach someone their type of creativity, so... I don't know, that's how I kind of look at it.
Yeah, I don't think you can teach creativity, I don't think you can teach chemistry. But yes. I think you can train chemistry, but the only people that can train chemistry are the two chemists, so to speak. You know what I mean? Or the three chemists or the four. So like for you know, at certain radio stations, you put two people together, which is what they did with us, Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They put the two of us together and just hoping it would work. And it just luckily it did. But there are, for every one success story like that, there's 150 success or stories where they hated each other. They, you know, like, well, I've seen people like just go quit the industry because they hated the partner they've been matched with.
Oh yeah.
Or that like they would bring the two or three people on the morning show into a boardroom and say, listen, you guys don't sound like you're getting along.
Right.
Get along better. They'd be like, but I hate that person, right? The number of times we've seen that, right? So so because you can't teach people to like each other. You can't teach people to be natural with one another. And it's not to say that we never have our differences. Like, Robbie's steaming mad at me right now, and he has been for an entire goddamn 5 days. But, I don't know. I still don't know. We haven't even talked about why you're so mad at me.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
He's disappointed in me.
No, okay. I'm not mad. It's all good.
But I just think it's interesting to hear the outside perspective. So, are you enjoying your time while you're here?
Oh, I'm loving it.
Are you?
Yep. Yeah, I've done some pretty crazy things.
Weird to me, though. Like, to sit in and think that... Because, honestly, the show that we do is just... It's so weird. Like, yesterday's show, we were just... making noises and yelling and screaming. It's just so weird to me that that's even something.
Here, let me open up the file of what we did yesterday.
Oh, yeah, you have this, right? Yeah, you keep it.
Yeah, I keep track of all of them here just to, you know. Oops, I hit the wrong thing.
People ask me why I stay with you guys.
Really?
Yeah, all the time.
Why do you stay with them too is a question you get often.
Yeah, like why do you want to let yourself be the intern for so long?
Why do you stay with them? And then what is your answer?
My answer is because all the things we've talked about. We have fun. We have good chemistry. It's very interactive. That's one thing that's super important to me. I want to interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that's why I love going out on the streets and doing stuff. And this is one show that strives to be interactive and get the audience involved and be live and real about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's important to me.
Here's what we have from yesterday. Jalapenos should come with a warning label.
Because you had to poop?
Dylan got in a fist fight at KFC.
See, I want to know more.
Best gravy poll.
Yeah. Well, and that makes sense right there, right?
Pterodactyl spelling test.
Very hard. Still can't do it today, by the way.
Informative.
How much paper can you get from a tree?
And this does sound like a decent show to me.
This
really.
One, I don't... Dylan was right about bamboo.
Oh, yeah, because
I don't... It's
not a tree.
Pepper can't dial the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Riley, my son, has COVID. Sick and tired of passwords, and Yellowstone sucks. So that was yesterday's
show. Notes.
Yeah, those are the show notes.
That's interesting.
And that's it. That's all of it are on the notes. No other detail, anything like that. And then I send that to Robbie, and Robbie has to grab clips for the archives, and I'm expecting him to just go like, oh, yeah, no, I get all
that's
of this.
That's why he's here till 1.
Yeah. A little more detail. Okay. So, Robbie, why are you mad at me? Let's talk this out here. Let's get to the bottom of this.
I'm not mad at you. You assumed I was mad at you because Friday, you dropped this bomb on us in the last break of the day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had a long week.
Right.
I came in on the Sunday.
Being that I lapsed in rehab or I lapsed in my recovery and I got drunk on Thursday. Yeah.
I had just had a long week. I had come in on Sunday to do some work. So it felt like an extra long week. And on Friday, I was looking forward to getting out of here early.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew that was going to be a 2-hour conversation after the show that just hit me at the end of the show.
It was bad timing.
And I was like, I can't right now. I have to go get my stuff done and go, and I just have to remove myself.
Right.
And not like you're going to care what I say anyway.
See, and that's the thing. So the thing that you were busy and you had stuff to do, I was like, yeah, that's fine. You can call me later. We can chat later, right?
Yeah.
And then if it's bothering you, let's talk about it. But then you said, you're not going to care what I have to say anyway. And I'm curious to know. Yes, I do care what everybody says, which was part of the goddamn problem in the first place. But what were you going to say that I was supposedly not going to care about? I had a relapse. You're one of my best friends. Or a lapse. I keep getting caught on that. And you're one of my best friends. And I wanted to know how you felt about it.
And I just, there's nothing I could, I don't think you cared. Like, I don't want to, bring it down. I just didn't think you would take my advice anyway.
Well... No.
That's what I was saying. Like,
true. You don't care. You drank.
You'll do what you want to do.
Yeah. You didn't care whether he said that you're going to drink or not. You were going to drink anyway.
Yeah, it was an independent decision that I made.
Yeah.
Yes. And if there's a next time, it'll be another independent, at the end of the day, who's accountable?
I don't like that you're saying if there's a next time.
Well, you never know. Like, that's the thing. Like, you've got to be open to the idea. Like, some of the studies are between 5 and 7 times an alcoholic will lapse or an addict will lapse before they are completely successful and sober.
I feel like you're setting it up for another time when you talk like that.
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, like mentally, like I've got that thing there. It's still not a failure
live,
if I keep doing it.
You're
right?
Live. You set it up. That's the only thing that bothered me about your live. I thought a lot of it was good. I thought a lot of it was real. A lot of it was honest.
Instagram live?
Yeah. You did an Instagram live. But then you set it up like, if I do it again. It's just like, you shouldn't have that mentality. I'm not going to do it again. If it happens, then we talk about it then.
Well, and that's kind of, that's a better way of saying it.
Yeah, but
yes,
you're not saying it.
So
I was like, come on, stop saying that.
Yeah.
Oh, if I do it again, who knows?
Yeah.
Is a really flippant attitude because you are an addict.
Yeah.
You shouldn't touch it again.
I know
not to touch heroin.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I know that
until
if I touch heroin.
Until your last decade, you've been saying, right? The last 5 years of your life, you're going full
that
war.
That won't affect you, though. Don't worry. Well, unless we're in a senior home together. But, like, you should just say, like, you no longer, like, you... The reason that the last one happened, you had your lapse, and I can understand part of it, but I can't understand the full thing.
Yeah.
I can understand the part where you're just like, okay, I went away to rehab. I'm feeling really good about life.
Yeah.
Feeling really wonderful. You know what? I'm going to have a drink.
Yeah.
It was drink 2 and 3 and 4 that I go like, what the hell is that about?
Yeah.
Why did one drink would to be proved to yourself that I can have one drink?
Yeah.
The fact is, you can't.
You can't,
And then so now, the verbiage should be, I cannot drink and I will not drink.
Well, no, that's period. Fairly, it's fairly obvious that I can't do that.
Yeah, but that's not how you came across in the thing.
I guess what I was just...
To us that watch it, who had to be here without you, who watched you have to go to rehab, who our lives changed and we had to put in a bunch of work, obviously you were doing a bunch of things too, but it just seems like you're flippant about it. You're like, oh, okay, well, whatever.
Well, I'm not. I mean, absolutely not.
I know, that's how it came across.
Yes, Robbie.
No, Dylan's right. Like, it did seem that way. And at the same time, I understand it's going to be hard and it's going to be an ongoing battle for you. And every time this happens, I don't want to make a huge deal of it for your sake.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you messed up. Okay, cool, move on. We don't have to sit here and talk about it for 3 hours and make a giant deal of it because it's going
to
happen.
Well, I wasn't intending to talk about it for 3 hours. I was open to talking about it if you guys wanted to express how you felt about it, right?
Right.
Like, the thing that I took out of having a lapse, and I'm not proud of it, right? But I'm not ashamed of it, which is a change, right? Because what was happening before, which not many people know, and definitely not many people... Excuse me. Pardon me. And definitely not many people who don't have experience either with themselves or with family members kind of understand is that there is a colossal level of shame and embarrassment and darkness that comes along with it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I wasn't as ashamed as I was just disappointed and let down, like, oh, shit, I can't believe I did that, right? But in the moment, I felt in control until I wasn't. It's a very strange experience to have a lapse or to just drink too much anyway.
Right.
But like when I was drinking regularly, what I would do is I would drink and be like, frick, I gotta stop this. God, I promised myself I wouldn't drink today, and now look at it. It's, you know, 2 in the afternoon and I'm drinking. So, and then I would wake up the next day hungover and feel shame and be mad at myself and angry at myself, and then the only way to mask that would be to be go and drink again.
Right.
So I didn't do that, right? So to me, and I know that sounds like simple. Oh, God, well, how hard are you? You can't drink. But for me, it was a win to not feel the shame to motivate me to do it again. Right?
Yeah.
For me, it was a win to just say, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and keep it a secret and hide it. I'm going to tell everybody. And you guys are not the only ones I told. I told everybody.
Yeah.
Right? I waited until afterwards. And a lot of friends I had said, why didn't you call us before you drank? Well, here's the thing, right? On the surface, it makes a lot of sense. Right? Yeah, I should, if I feel like it, if I'm having the urge, I'll call somebody and they'll talk me out of it. But I didn't want to be talked out of it at the time. Like, it's the world's biggest loophole. Like, for me to say to the bar, hey, don't ever serve me, because it's the bar that I always go to, and I go in there and they're like, oh, here you go, here's your soda soda and lime.
Yeah.
Right? That's great. Until I want a drink and I just go to a different bar.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah, and that's the war. That's the struggle. That's the war that you battle when you have these feelings.
Part of it, though, that you need to reach out to people to stop you, to convince you that you shouldn't, that it's, that like, that's, that when you're having a moment of weakness, to just go and drink doesn't seem like the right thing.
That's the point of a sponsor, right?
Yeah. It's the idea of a sponsor, for sure, and a sponsor just kind of guides you through the steps, and now I'm not in a 12-step, because it didn't work for me, but that's the idea. Having a good support system, super, super important, but the most important thing is using your support system when you really need it. And I didn't do that.
Right.
Because I didn't want to. And really, at the end of the day, it was just like, I was tired from the day of, or just from this pressure that I'm putting on myself to just be successful in my sobriety. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't. Mm-hmm. But I'm putting this pressure on myself, and I was just, you know what, today I just need a break from this exhausting pressure of being successful. And the fact that I felt I had it. You know, it had been 3 months. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'm fine. I can probably go have a beer, no problem.
Right.
Right? And I didn't.
No.
And I didn't have it. And it was eye-opening and it was awakening. It's like, oh, shit, it is a lifelong battle. It wasn't just a three-month battle. It's a lifelong battle. And when I say if I do it again, it's just, I guess the way I'm saying it is anticipation of using it, another fall off if it happens, to learn again.
But
as opposed to fall apart.
Yeah, I just.
But what a risk, right?
I wouldn't look at it that way personally.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, because you build in this device that lets you off the hook too easily.
That's what it sounded like, 100%. Yeah, just like if I do it, hey, I might do it again, and it's just like, whoa, you might. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah,
as a human that is standing beside you.
Yeah.
I get that you
it's
might.
It's a risk every day, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
But to build in the, might,
right.
tells you psychologically somehow deep
that
down
deal,
that it's just like, well, you know what? Nothing really happened.
Yeah.
Like, I threw up. My daughter was mad at me a little bit. Yeah. Robbie walked out of the studio. And, well, here we are. Nothing really bad happened.
Yeah.
So automatically, you're going to say in your head the next time you're at that weak point,
yeah.
well, I did it and nothing really bad happened.
Yeah,
so
what's the worst that can happen? Yeah.
I just think you need to change
your
verbiage of it to yourself and go like, I can't.
Yeah.
And that's why with all addicts, you are an addict for life, right?
Right.
Like the difference between you and I is I can have a beer.
Yeah.
And then I can go to bed.
Yeah.
And I had a beer.
Yeah.
That's it.
And not think about it for days and days.
Exactly.
And days.
It doesn't. That's just how I'm built now. You're just built differently, and you have to recognize that, and you have to really take that seriously. Obviously. But I do understand the first screw up, because I do understand the feeling invincible after three months and going like, you know what? I beat addiction. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You didn't.
Yeah.
You're not a special snowflake.
Right.
You are someone who's going to battle addiction forever. And so just hearing the word of if it happens again, to me just says, oh, don't use that verbiage to yourself.
Right. I guess
change that.
It's a different, difficult balancing act, because from my perspective, it's if I have to be a little like handle myself with a little more delicately, because the thing that would happen is if I'm treating it as, you know, more like you would, or closer to a failure if you slip, is that then the shame and depression and the darkness comes with it, which leads to more. Whereas if I can be a little more forgiving and understanding, maybe I give myself a little more grace, I can again practice learning from it. So it is a tricky balancing act, but I totally understand what you're saying.
And you were also doing something, once again, these are my opinions.
Yeah.
I am not a doctor.
Yeah.
You know way better than I do, but like you're also treating it, in my opinion, flippantly, when you were going to bars.
Yeah.
So going back to the same places you used to go all the time.
Yeah.
And ordering non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah.
That's like a heroin addict just playing with needles.
Well, yeah. And empty needles.
juggling needles on their spare time. You know, stay the hell away.
For the most part, it has worked. It really has worked. It's been fine, right?
And you've been doing great.
Yeah. So it was just, and that one had nothing to do with it. It's not like I started with the day drinking non-alcoholic beer and I was like, you know what, give me some of the hard stuff. That was, I even went to a completely different bar. I get what you're saying there. And for a lot of people, it wouldn't work. And for me, it has. I go with people every time I go and who are like, what the hell are you drinking?
So who let you drink the day you did?
Oh, I was by myself.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I was by myself.
So ultimately I say that it didn't work, and it's true. It didn't, because you went back to it.
Yeah.
And there you were drinking.
It was
and
a
there
different
you were
bar.
Disappointing other people, right?
Different bar, different place, different all that.
I know, but like you went through that.
Yeah.
Anyways,
it was
the one time I hope that we're going to have to deal with this. And I'm not putting my foot down and being like that, but it's just like you have control over whether I'm right or not.
Yeah.
So don't hope that I'm right.
Yeah.
Just be right.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's ultimately it.
Yeah, okay.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, easier
said
than done.
No, you can control.
Easier said than done, though.
Yeah, it is much easier said than done.
I realize that.
I get that with Kristen. Kristen and I got in a bit of a heated discussion. Well, it wasn't a fight. It was just like, there's different levels of understanding coming from different people, right? And there's different levels of empathy that come from people, or sympathy. And then there's those that just, they wish they could understand, but they just can't understand. And it's difficult, right? So when I talk to other people who family members or themselves struggle, and that's kind of what my Instagram messaging has become, just it's almost like a little community that we have of people that are just struggling, and I'm there for them and they're there for me, etc. But like it is difficult to find people that just completely understand the power of it, and how it's far more than just a physiological response. It's an emotional response. It's a lot of things on top of physiological. So oftentimes when the perfect storm develops, it's a real hard thing to just say, I'm in control and I can't. Like, like, yes, I am in control and my decisions are my own to make, but sometimes the influences are really, really challenging. And it's more than just a craving. If it's a craving, I can just go, like, you know, like anything, I can go and busy myself for 15 minutes and then the craving will go away. But if it's something like impactful or emotional or a trigger, it's a little bit harder to do.
Right. But that's when you reach out to people, right? Is well, that not?
But then again, back to the point, if you reach out to people, you know, like it's...
Yeah,
if
you want to do it.
Like I said to my therapist yesterday, so my therapist specializes in addiction. And she said, well, when did you start to make the plan? And I said, I don't know, probably in that morning. And she said, okay, because that's what a relapse is. She's like, no, addict. Just decides to go. Like there's a subconscious plan that starts to happen, right? And I said, well, I canceled my workout. And she's like, there you go. Like you are already enacting it. So there's no way you were going to call a friend. There's just no way.
But so then ultimately, like to go right back to the beginning of the conversation and Robbie saying, like, what am I going to say to you? Or oh, you're not going to listen to me. You're not. And no, that's the truth. The truth of the matter is that day, you weren't going to listen to Robbie.
Yeah.
You would have made your plan. You weren't going to call anybody. And that's the truth. So, like, Robbie couldn't have done anything. And it's from his point of view. Well, it's just like, okay, well, you're going to do that. And I guess then we're going to have to deal with it after.
But Robbie said that afterwards. So, like, after I revealed that
at the time, it was selfish of me to just walk out. Because it had been months and months and months of just focusing on Pepper. And I just was, there's other things that we need to take care of. And I just figured, I just felt like we were in such a good path. And then it felt it crumbling a little bit.
Well, I felt that reaction from you guys, but the thing is, I took it all as a positive when I told you guys.
And maybe the way you told us, because I was so shocked. It was the last break of the week, and I was like, this at the very last break of the day.
Because I was wrestling on how I was going to tell you and when I was going to tell you. And I thought, do I say it off the air or on the air or what? And then it just kind of came out because we had extra time to kill. And
I'll be honest. So I looked at the text messages and I saw dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of texts of people that you could reach out to and talk to you at the time. So my guy, he's got it covered. He's like, he doesn't need me right now.
I wasn't looking for anything from you guys other than just, here, I'm being honest with you. Do it with it what you may.
Right.
But I was just hoping that you would see that the gesture of being honest, or the mandatory gesture of being honest and open with you guys, and hope that you would understand it as a slip and nothing more.
Well, and it just so happened the next day, actually, Dylan and I wound up hanging out, which was kind of unplanned. Mm-hmm. We didn't really talk about it much at all, but we just agreed, like, we're just glad you were honest about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we were happy about.
Yeah. And I will continue to be honest about everything, because it's a path that I want to go on.
If $33,000 can't tell you not to go to a bar, it don't matter what we say, man. Well,
but, and that's just a reflection of the power of it, right?
Sure, sure. So. Yeah. So it's hard. I think the hard part for us is that it affects so much.
Yeah.
And it did affect so much for all of us. And, like, of course you're dealing with it, but we're dealing with all the other things and we can't control it.
Yeah.
So you're sitting here going, like, well, I can't really control it. It's really, really powerful and it's hard.
I can control it. It's just super powerful and it's hard to control.
But then we're in a helpless seat going, like, all right, we're just along for a ride. We're strapped in and the roller coaster's going.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like we're just along for the ride. So it's difficult to be along for the ride when you can't affect change.
Yeah. And it's a helpless spot to be in, right?
Yeah, and it's not very fun.
It's like when we were talking about my son being 16 and when he gets his driver's license and he drives off.
Right.
I don't know when he's coming home. No. I don't know if he's coming home.
And exactly.
It's the same kind of idea. Like, it is out of your hands. You can't do anything. Like, you can't change what you can't control. Mm-hmm. And I am in control of what I do, although sometimes it's white knuckling and sometimes it's stressful and sometimes it's really, really, really challenging.
Just make the self-talk. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
I mean, the honesty I love.
Yeah.
That's one of my things I asked for before. So I loved the honesty. And on Friday, I was just like, okay, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
Right? Honesty, great. That was wonderful. But the self-talk on the video is the one that I was just like, come on.
Yeah.
Better self-talk.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do this again.
This was on the live?
Yeah, on the live.
I didn't watch.
No, Robbie couldn't watch the live, remember?
Yeah.
Because you were chewing gum off the top.
I can't.
I didn't even realize it. You're right, though. I was really aggressively chewing gum. I get nervous when I'm doing those lives. I don't have two co-hosts with me that I can bounce back and forth with.
Fair.
I can't do a solo show anymore, Dylan.
No, you do.
I can't do it.
You're doing fine.
But sorry for chewing so much gum, bro.
It's a meme.
Right. He stopped. Like, in the beginning, it was brutal. It did die down when he was talking, though.
Yeah.
If you fast forward through the first 2 minutes.
I notice a fresh piece of gum does that to him. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll chomp. So I'll just wait. Like, hurry
Robbie
up.
Knows Get everyone's mushy. Gum styles for years.
I can't. I don't. It's ingrained in me. I can't deal with gum.
Every once in a while, I'll fall for. Robbie hates gum because he hates that chewing sound. Every once in a while, I'll fall for his little gag where he goes, "Hey, can I have a piece of gum?" So I'll give him a piece of gum, and he'll just throw it on the floor and stomp on it.
One less piece. One less piece. It's a very.
You did on a trip though buy like 45 packs of gum. Literally 45 packs of gum.
Just to
and
get under
just
his skin. Yeah.
Started chewing.
Oh, I hated him that day.
I love it.
I'm so mad at him that day.
See, I think my problem with you, and it's a me issue, Robbie.
Yeah.
And it can come across as sounding disrespectful, and I hope it doesn't. But my problem with you is because in the 15 years that I've known you, you have always been so kind and genuine. And Dylan, tell me if you have this problem. And I know you guys are closer than I, you and Dylan, you're closer with Robbie than I am. Mm-hmm. But you have always been such a kind and genuine soul that it is legitimately hard for me to picture Robbie angry at anybody.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen, Robbie comes to me angry.
Yeah.
And talks to me angry. So I have seen him angry, but he never does it publicly.
Right.
It's always like in a conversation between him and I,
yeah,
where he's frustrated and just needs to talk it out.
Yeah.
But he's not one of the people to just be mad at everybody.
Yeah.
Or just mad at someone and like to their face. Like, I've never really seen you mad at someone to their face.
I'm very good at I guess a veil, like just pushing it down.
Well,
pushing it down.
Pepper, tell him that's not good.
Tell him that's not good. But the most angry I've ever seen you, you came directly to me, and it's the most angry I've ever seen you. But even when it was that, I was like, that's his most angry?
What was that?
Like, boy, can he could be way more angry than this.
What was it? What do you remember what it was?
It was right around the whole COVID time.
Oh, with me.
With you that whole thing. But right.
That was tough. Those were tough times.
Yeah, you were frustrated with that, just as you were frustrated when I left, etc. But like it's so funny how Robbie has to bear the brunt of all of our garbage, right?
But see, like me coming to you, like that's the maddest you've seen me, but Dylan has seen me way more mad than that.
Really?
About things. So I just came to him like I would come to you because you were gone.
Yeah, that's
so fair. I had to have somebody to vent to.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. So, but what I'm saying is just because of your soul, like because Robbie is beloved, right? Like it's Robbie hard not to love Robbie. Like, Robbie, do you know anybody that doesn't like you, Robbie?
Oh, how many of your friends have punched you out?
Well, that's because they're like my brothers. Like, we fought. Dylan and I have fist fought.
I've never punched you in the face, though, without you knowing, like, your other brothers.
No, but is there anybody that goes, when they hear the name Robbie Gibson, that they go, God, that fucking guy?
Maybe.
I hope you not. Can't think of any, right?
I can't think of any that I've I have that problem where I don't want anyone to dislike me.
Right,
that is a problem.
Well, I think everybody has that problem, and I think that's a problem on
you guys have that itself. Problem?
Yeah, we do. Yes,
because it bubbles out. Like I don't know how to. Sometimes I don't know how to let it bubble out. Good, like even around the workplace. I even talked to the boss about this. I'm like, I got to find better ways to not get frustrated, because now I feel like I kind of have to be a bad guy to do my job well.
Mm-hmm.
Right behind the scenes and stuff. And I don't, sometimes I feel like I come across unlikable.
We've said this 1,000 times. I just want to get it on tape one more time. Robbie, you need therapy.
It's 100%.
Such a great
thing. I've had it here and there. And I agree. It's a good thing.
It is. It is so wonderfully wonderful. The thing with therapy that is the hardest is getting the scheduled appointment when you need it. Because when you need it, they normally are like a week or 2 weeks out of booking. Mm-hmm. You're like, no, I need it now.
Well, the frustrating thing with therapy is also like you get there, right? If you have like 2 weeks in between appointments or 3 weeks in between appointments, you get there and you spend 35 minutes going, okay, what happened throughout your week? Okay, good. You get all caught up. You talk about some things and then they're like, okay, 20 minutes left. So let's work on the big problems.
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't we be doing this the other way around? That's what was so great about rehab and going into as much therapy as I had when I was in rehab. But my greater point is that Robbie is super likable.
Yeah, of course.
Genuinely, people love Robbie. Mm-hmm. People are forgiving of Robbie when he beats baby seals and takes their skin for bracelets.
Yeah.
People gave money. This is we were talking about this the other day. This is years ago when we were giving away vacations for Big Pepper and Dylan vacation trip.
Yes.
And we didn't have enough money for Robbie to go for free. So Robbie did odd jobs and raised money, not for charity. But for himself to take a vacation. And people just happily handed over money to Robbie so he could go on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys helped me be that way.
But people love Robbie.
Yes.
So I take that for granted sometimes. And almost in a way, and this is a compliment, Robbie, as backhanded as it might be,
right.
Almost dehumanize Robbie in a sense, or caricaturize Robbie into that, oh, Robbie's just so fun-loving. How could he ever get angry?
Mm-hmm.
I never think of you as somebody who would be angry with me or anybody else.
That's the thing. Like there's some of my like hiking buddies I've had to get mad at recently because they'll change plans last minute and won't tell me because they think I'm so easygoing. They're the last person I'm the last person they would think of to let me know about changes because they don't think I'll ever get mad about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the kind of same thing? Like you never think I'll be mad?
Yeah.
Because I'm just this.
I think because you're super relaxed and you just go with the flow, which isn't the case. And I don't know why I think that, because that's more you, Dylan. Mm-hmm. Like if it came down to which three of us is the most laid back and just doesn't really care if plans change or things, that would be you.
Probably.
Right? But I just, you're genuinely a really kind, likable guy.
I appreciate it.
And so when you get mad, I'm taken aback by it. In fact, when you're mad, I'm more wounded by it than anybody else because it is so rare for you to be mad, it seems. Now, I know that that's not true. It's just my vision of you is Robbie just doesn't get mad.
Right.
And I would think that there aren't, in our 15 years that you and I have known each other, there aren't many times you've been angry with me.
No,
or
not
been
many.
Angry with Dylan, because I know that Dylan and I are now on, what, number four? Is that right?
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
We finished number four. We just wrapped it. Is it fair to say we just wrapped up number four?
I hope we wrapped it. Are we wrapped?
I think so, yeah.
I thought so. We've never had like big ones. Like there's been tiny things here.
Well, this one was the biggest, right? Rehab was the biggest one. But I think the one before that might have been the parking. The parking
oh,
spot.
Oh, for you guys. Yeah,
the
yeah,
Los
yeah,
Angeles
yeah.
parking
yeah.
spot yeah. where yeah. I've never seen Dylan get so angry over something so benign.
And you don't get car sick, so you can't say that.
And then the fact that I went into an angle park the wrong way, down the wrong aisle in a parking lot. And so I tried to pull off the park anyway, and I had to go forward, backwards to try and fit into the parking spot.
It was like Austin Powers, 15 times at least.
I can very, imagine. Very angry.
And this is after, what, a full day of driving?
Yeah, it was like in my defense, although I was very angry and more angry than any human should be in that situation. We were living in a car together.
Right.
We were in cramped quarters.
For
it was stress at an all-time high.
It was a road trip for the show.
That's where you're sleep like you're not getting a good sleep because you're literally sleeping in a car, and then when you're not sleeping, you're the one driving.
It was a van.
It was
Which
a van.
Should defend why I had such a hard time parking. It's a van. You ever tried to park a van?
I wouldn't have done it the way you did. That's all I'm saying. That's just, I know
was going
that.
The right. The thing about angle parking is once you go down the wrong way, there's no way to get the right way.
Yeah.
You're just going to go around and around and around.
Back up.
I'm not backing into an angle. It was a van, man. I can't see anything out of the van.
Hey, listen, I don't want to get into it anymore.
Robbie, can you understand?
I know what you mean.
All right, so we got into an argument.
He parks like that, though, when nobody's around. That's the thing. He takes four backups in the parking lot alone.
It's endearing, Dylan.
It wasn't that day.
It was a combination of Dylan just being stressed and frustrated and wanting to go home, I think, is what it was.
Well, those would have been hell, those
We'd been
trips.
Driving and following the Oilers for the playoffs for...
And I don't even like sports!
I know, that was a real problem.
Like, we would get there and they would all go to the sports game and I would stand outside because I'm like, I'm not wasting the money for someone who doesn't even care about the sports
for
game.
For a playoff game.
Right? Yeah. And then I would just be, like, I would be by the pool waiting or whatever, just going like, all right, have fun.
One guy can't park one time. All of a sudden, it's one of our top four fights of all time.
That's a good thing, is it not?
That we only have had four fights
and
of all
one
time.
Of them's about parking? I would be proud of that if I were you.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty good.
I would. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but I can't think of anything where I've been that mad at either of you.
And that's why it was so, you know, like it was so important to me to understand why you were disappointed.
I probably came across as looking like it was much more mad than I was.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry if I disappointed you, but like I've said to everybody who said they're disappointed, and for the most part, I would say like the support I've had for this was like all 99.9% positive and understanding. But for the people that I have disappointed, I'm like, you're the second most disappointed person in all of this. Like,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I care about everyone, but trust me, I get it. I think I have a little barometer on why you're on how you feel with your disappointment.
Well, yes, good. You better. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And yeah, no, Dylan, I hope it never happens again.
Okay, that's what I want to hear.
I hope it never happens again.
Yeah, I'm just saying you're leading down the path of, okay.
I guess as an asterisk, if it does happen again, it doesn't mean I failed.
No.
Right. That's the thing. Is like you can't attach failure to something that's not a failure is all. So, like, I guess that's the way I'm looking at it. But I understand. Like, mm-hmm. You know, the more I speak for some people, right, they self-speak and do all that and then train their brain to think a certain way. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to do more of that. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's like what you're doing in the morning. I really think that it's powerful. And I'm the most hippie on the whole show.
Yeah.
But I really think it's powerful for self-talk. And, like, you've been doing your daily intentions. Your daily intentions.
Well, they've fallen off a little bit. Right. But that's just life makes you busy.
Sure. But part of your daily intentions is to tell your subconscious. What to expect for your day and what to do. So, like, by talking to yourself a specific way, mm-hmm. you're going to follow more so than you would if you're not talking to you. Like if you're just like, yeah, well, it wasn't that big a deal.
I had a friend send me Post-it notes, just those small, colorful Post-it notes mm-hmm. on Amazon. I opened a package on Sunday. I'm like, what the hell is this? And I thought, so I figured out who it was from because it didn't say who it was from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was to write like words of affirmation and put it on your walls and mirrors. Yeah. But I've just never been that person. Mm-hmm. But also, I've never been the person that carries crystals in their pocket. So I'm changing in certain ways.
Absolutely. By the way, real quickly, if I could publicly, Robbie, I feel so bad.
Why?
Because Robbie, this has been days now, and Robbie kind of knows what it is. But so Robbie wears these little rocks around his wrist.
Yeah.
That his dad built for him.
Yeah.
And a little bracelet.
Yeah, they're really
like
cool.
This one too. I've got this
one. Yeah, you guys had them. Day I mentioned, I'm like,
I got this at rehab,
you have these bracelets and I don't have a bracelet. What are these all about? I kind of feel left out. And Robbie was so nice that morning. He grabs one off of his wrist because he was wearing two and he hands it to me. He's like, here you go. You can have one.
What a guy.
I was like, oh my
God. Come on. You guys have given me stuff left and right.
I was so happy about it. And I really, really loved it. Like, I wore it. I slept with it that night.
Didn't
I was
you give
like,
Robbie a Dutch oven and a digital instant read thermometer worth over
$100? Worth of cooking wear.
I was so excited for these rocks. A string. Yeah. And so I put them on, and I'm wearing them, and I'm wearing them proudly. I fell asleep with them, no problem. Next day, Robbie comes over. I made sure that I had my, like, sleeve down. Mm-hmm. Made sure to pull my sleeve up so he could see.
Good for you. Nice.
Not that I went and put it on for him. I just wanted him to see that these mean a little bit to me.
Yeah.
They're here, they're on my wrist, that they mean something.
Yeah.
Anyways, Sunday came around. I can't find them anywhere.
Oh, Jesus.
I have no idea where they are. There's Robbie's dad's rocks. I had them for 2 days and they're gone.
Yeah.
And I don't know where they are. They're not in my house. I think I lost them outside. I don't even know how I lost them.
The weird thing is, things that are important to you always seem to turn up. Because I've been carrying these two rocks in my pocket for a while, and sometimes I'll leave them in the pants or forget about them in there, and boom, I always find them.
When you put those pants on again.
There you go.
Yes, no, you're right.
There, yeah.
I've told you the nose ring story, right?
When you used to wear one and until you were like 40?
Well, not that specific part of the story. No, when I had a nose ring in my 20s, I was at a rave, and I was doing all the things you do at a rave.
What are those?
I was doing a lot of
Did you have a soother? Did you ever have a soother?
Yes, I've told you that. I had a soother in a backpack. I've told you that.
But a soother?
Yes.
It's so weird.
I was doing a lot of ecstasy.
And so what is a soother for so you don't bite your tongue
off?
So
you're not grinding your teeth. Yeah.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, because when you take ecstasy, you're grinding your teeth, like your jaws clench.
I don't know.
You're anything but angry.
Okay.
I can't explain the science behind it, but it's just, it's part of it. And
so how does the soother and the nose ring
So I'm at this rave. I'm at this rave. And so this is before I was that guy. Okay. Because mm-hmm. this was my first ever foray into ecstasy.
Right.
And I'm at this rave and I lost my friend what felt like 6 hours ago. And I'm at this rave. We're on the dance floor, and I don't dance. But all of a sudden,
did you when you were
well? Like, as soon as the drug hit me, I'm like, I gotta dance. Like, I gotta dance now, and I gotta dance always, and I gotta dance forever.
Can you imagine? Can you picture that?
Can you picture me doing that?
Not for a second.
I don't know if I had rhythm. I don't know what I had, but I just need the music, Dylan. I felt the music in my.
When
core.
We're in a time machine situation later on in life, that's one of the times I'm going back.
You want to go back? 94? See me. This was 1999, Robbie. Okay. So I'm at this rave. I hear the music. The light show's incredible. I'm dancing. I'm just dancing. And there are, I would guess, now again, this could be a hallucination. I can't remember. I was pretty out of it. But I would guess there were probably 500 people on the dance floor. Like, it's pre-COVID, hey? So you could do this kind of thing?
Right. Yeah.
And so there's 500 sweaty, high, crazy, backpack, furry boots, soother people.
Glow sticks
dancing on this, like shoulder to shoulder packed on this dance floor. And we're all high and we're all sweating, because that's another thing that happens. You sweat an awful lot.
Because you're dancing so much.
Well, you're dancing and you're just, I don't know. I've kind of determined after my summer of ecstasy that it's probably not good for you. There are probably things in that drug that probably are harmful to your body and brain.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I'm dancing and I'm so sweaty and oily and slippery that I reach up and I can't find my nose ring, because I had this weird habit that I would always play with it, like a nervous twitch. And I'm like, oh shit, I lost my nose ring. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, that was a pretty big deal. Like, mm-hmm. I knew that I could get a replacement at any time, but it was a pretty big deal for me that I lost that nose ring.
Okay.
And then I so happened to bump into this girl whom I'd never met. And she became, 45 minutes to an hour later, the love of my life. Because that's me, and that's ecstasy, and that's. And then so we danced the whole night. We're dancing and dancing and dancing and dancing, and I'm having a great time. And she's the old ecstasy expert, right? She's an expert.
Okay.
And she just said, you should be drinking more water. Is this your first time? I'm like, she's like, you got to drink water. And then we're dancing and dancing and dancing, and then hours go by. At least it feels like hours, and maybe it was 30 seconds, but I look down on the floor, and there's my goddamn nose ring.
Look at that. So the long story short is, where the hell is my bracelet?
You're going to find it.
Oh, I hope so, Robbie. I'm so sorry.
Or take ecstasy. Mm-hmm. You'll find your bracelet.
No!
Do you think ecstasy is why you fall in love so easy now? Like, it's a permanent thing? Like, with people who take acid, they have flashbacks?
Oh, yeah. That's a really good question.
Like, your ecstasy was just, it ignited your quick love?
If anything, it would, make you less love.
Have you tried ecstasy?
I've tried it, yes.
Oh.
Not for me.
No?
Was it for you? Me. No, not for me either. No one should ever do it. Stay away.
Okay.
Stay away.
Yeah.
Remember the opening part of this podcast? Sometimes things happen.
The thing with it with me is you feel great.
Yeah.
But you pay for it later.
Oh, yeah.
Days and days and days of low.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Not worth it at all. So that's why I would think, you feel all this love, but then later you don't feel that love again. So you're always chasing that love.
It's like a breakup every time you take it. No, thank you.
Yeah. I had to wake up at 6 in the morning the next day to help a friend move.
How did that go?
I promised. Well, I didn't get home till 7:30, so not great.
Oh, poor move.
Yeah. Yeah, not for me.
Yikes.
You ever had to lift a couch on an ecstasy hangover without any sleep?
Nope.
It's challenging.
I would imagine.
It's hard.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I would say that.
So that bracelet will turn up.
I'm
just
sorry,
start dancing. Maybe that's the moral of the story.
Not dancing enough.
If you start dancing, the world is a better place.
And I think I might know why
you're high on ecstasy.
I think I might know why you have all those nosebleeds now.
Why?
Did you clean the nose ring after you picked it up?
No, I just put it right back in.
You might have a nose infection of some sort.
Bah.
From 19, a 22-year-old nose infection?
Yeah, it's possible.
Is that what we did on the After Show? Are we done?
It's been an hour.
Really? Are we talking to the woman soon that had the boyfriend in prison?
We could talk to her anytime.
I thought we were going to do that today. Why didn't we do that today?
I think we were planning on dialing her up, but we just kind of got a little derailed here.
Okay. No, she was awesome because she got my number from the show when you guys gave it out. One of the multiple times.
Okay,
so we have access to her anytime
we
want.
Next Wednesday's Pepper and Dylan Show podcast.
Sure.
We will talk to the woman who fell. It's a marvelous love story.
She fell in love with a Crip from California who was
in prison
for murder.
On like a prison pen pal thing.
Yeah.
And Savan, how's it going with our prison pen pal? Have we heard anything yet?
Not yet.
He sent a letter. Right. He had to actually send a letter, like a handwritten letter.
Well, they're not
you
allowed
to email these prisoners.
Could you imagine what prisoners would do?
Yes.
If you had regular Google,
there'd
be a lot of fun in jail.
So we've got to wait for to hear back if our prisoner pen pal is going to accept our invitation to be our friend.
Okay.
And we'll have her old school snail mail correspondence with a prisoner pen pal.
I think that's fun.
But we'll talk to that. Yeah, we'll talk to her next week. It's a really interesting love story.
I'll give her a heads up and let her know.
Thank you for listening to the After Show.
The Pepper and Dylan Show. Weekday mornings on KISS 91.7.